Salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, folks. Good morning. We're not going to mess around here today. No small talk. I'm ready to dive in and get after it. The Spirit of the Lord's been all over me this morning. I want you all to do something right now as you're watching the show. If you're not on the phone, if you're on your phone, that's okay. Maybe you can't do this. But otherwise, I want you right now to text somebody and say, tune in. You don't want to miss this. Right now, pick up your phone and think of somebody that you know and tell them to tune in to CoachDaveLive.com. They don't want to miss this. Now, whether they will or not, I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is going to be good morning. Good July 19th, 2017. Crazy, crazy time in which we live. I know I say that a lot, but I got something I want to share with you today. I got a real message. So I'm going to tell you this right now, folks. So I'm going to show some videos today that probably will cause us to be blocked on YouTube. They're going to say copyright infringement, whatever they're going to say. Jared, I'm telling you, just get prepared. So those of you, if you are just listening, that's okay. And if you are just listening, you're not going to be able to see some of this. In fact, when you go to look at it, probably on YouTube, they probably won't let it. I don't know. But I think it's profound enough and powerful enough that I'm going to risk that. For those who are listening and watching live, it'll be worth your time. I want to give this little heads up. Also, tomorrow morning, the activist mommy, our friend Michelle and I, our friend Elizabeth Johnston. Most people don't know this. We're great friends with the activist mommy. Her latest video just crossed 12 million views. The one that she did about the sodomy in the magazine, the children's magazine Vogue, Teen Vogue. She was on CBN yesterday. She's been everywhere. She's going to join us at 7:30 tomorrow morning. So you don't want to miss that as well. And I just got something profound I want to share with you. So everybody take a minute and text somebody. Say, you got to tune in. You got to tune in right now so that they get in here. Because we are, boys and girls, we are just a hair's breadth away from what's really going on in this. I really believe it. Jared, I want to start out today. Those of you who watch all the time know I don't always start out with the scripture. But I was just before I came down, I was sitting up with my wife and my girlfriend, Michelle. Man, so many times she's right on. She gave us a scripture today. Jared pulled that up. Hey, Jared, come back to me a little bit. Put me back up there again. Folks, listen. I got a new set of hat. I got a new one on my head. Got a new one in my hand. Got the old one here. Patreon website, or they can go to Coach Dave Live or whatever. If you send us a donation of any size, I'm going to send you a hat. You just got to tell me which one you want, okay? The red hat, the blue hat, or the camo hat. These things are hotter than firecrackers. I can't hardly keep them in stock. You send us any donation. Give them a little break on that, Sarge. I had to get this in today. How do they get on that Patreon site, or what are they supposed to do there, Sarge? Can you help us?
Yep, just go to patreon.com/CoachDaveLive, all one word, no spaces.
Patreon.com, Coach Dave Live.
And you can sign up for one of the tiers that has the hats or the shirts, and we'll fix you up.
Or even listen, if you're at Coach Dave Live right now, however it is on our. Oh, Jared's got it right there on the homepage. Do that, man, and we'll get a hat out to you right away. Okay. All right, there's 17 of us. We're going to jump in here and go. I like this red, white, and blue hat, by the way. I don't know. I like it. I'm in 2 Kings. Did I already say that to you, Jared? Oh, yeah. Jared's showing you there the Patreon site that everything that's on it. And just to help fund what we're doing. I got to say this before I go any further. This is what's tied the whole thing together for me. Our dear friend, Rusty Thomas, and the 10 other people who were arrested on Mother's Day weekend down in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I'm heading next week. They yesterday were charged with a federal access to clinic entrance by the federal government. FACE. They take a simple trespassing case and they apply federal statutes to it, which is putting under Clinton to protect the abortion industry. Face, you can check it up, the Face Law, federal access to clinic entrance. They were charged with it yesterday. And I was watching a video that Rusty made about the seriousness of Face. We're talking about up to 3 years in jail for someone who violates that. Rusty and those 10 people who sat down in front of the clinic door. Now, they're going to have to prove it in court. I mean, so it's not, I don't want anybody to get depressed. But I want you to know something, folks. If we are in not only a spiritual war, we're in a cultural war. We're in a war for this nation. And if we think that we are going to win this war without any casualties, we're wrong. We are wrong. Think about American history and the great sacrifices that men, think of the men who died in the war for independence. Think of the men, young men who died, lost their lives. Think of the young people who died in the Civil War, 600,000 died. Not a story, actual people who actually died, actually paid the ultimate price. Think of the people who died in the First World War, the Second World War, or Korea, or Vietnam, or in the Gulf. We've been in Afghanistan, 17 years? Think about that. And think of the people who've paid the ultimate price with their lives. And how about this, even worse? Think of the people who died for nothing. They just died. Saw two people yesterday got killed in a car wreck, two young teenagers. And people crying and said, oh my goodness, what a terrible tragedy. It is. But there's 17, 18, 19-year-old guys in the service that are dying. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Remember what the script says in the Ecclesiastes, that the day of your death, in the eyes of the Lord, the day of your death is more glorious than the day of your birth. We don't want to believe that. But we're going to have to make some sacrifices here. We're going to have to move from just idle talk to action. Why do we know the names of some of these famous guys? Nathan Hale, wasn't it Nathan Hale said, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country? Why do we remember those brave words? Because they actually gave their lives. Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to set you free or let you go? And Jesus said, you ain't got no power over me unless it's been given to you from on high. You don't have any power over me. Folks, don't you understand that your life's in the Lord, in the hands of the Lord? You have no power. Your heart could stop beating today. You could run into a tree tomorrow. A tree could fall on you and kill you. I saw that happened to a friend of mine's brother. A tree in the storm fell on him and killed him. What are the odds of that? I'm not trying to be doom or gloom. I'm trying to encourage you here to live a more courageous, more bold life. You are not in control of your life, no matter how much you think you are. No matter how much you think you got everything in order, you're not in control of your life. We love our lives too much. Come on, man, I don't want to die. I don't want to. Who wants to? But it's all gone to, right? So Rusty and those 11 have made that, they've stepped in. They put their toe in the water and sharks bitten them now. Now we're going to see how the rest of us are going to react. That's what's going to go on down in Louisville when we're down there next week. And that's where the battle's raging, because they certainly know we're coming. The abortion industry, the last remaining abortion industry, abortion clinic in the state of Louisville, in the state of Kentucky, is in Louisville, Kentucky. The governor already ordered it to be closed. A federal judge stepped in without the authority to do so and said, no, it remains open. And so the battle between it now is who's going to win this? Who's going to win? Are the bullies going to win? The federal government, are they going to win? Or are we going to rise up and say, no, we're going to close this thing down? And do we think it will be done without any personal sacrifice, without any suffering at all? Do we actually think that's going to happen? We got to ask ourselves these questions. And are you willing to pay that price? That's what I want to talk with you today about. Okay, hang in there with us. I'm in Second Kings. I say that, Jared. Second Kings 6. My wife gave me this morning. Second Kings 6. I'm going to read through this quickly because I want you to see something. Again, we have no idea. We do not understand the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. We don't. We don't understand it. We don't understand that when Jesus died on that cross, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. All power is it. God is in control. Jesus Christ is in control. Not ultimately, not he wins in the end. No, no, no. He's already won, and we're supposed to be walking in that victory and that authority. No, but we don't. Because of the religiosity that we have and the phony Christianity we have in America, we don't live a conquering faith. We have a type of faith. We have a personal faith where we get blessed and my house gets blessed and my food gets blessed and my work gets blessed and everything about me gets blessed. But this faith that we have in American Christianity really just kind of impacts us. Just kind of impacts us. And as Michelle said to me today, she was reading from Spurgeon or somebody, I don't know who it was. She says the problem with American Christianity is that American Christians, rather than being fishers of men, they've become keepers of the aquarium. And man, is that ever it? The average pastor is not a fisher of men. He's a keeper of an aquarium. That's what's happened to us. All power is given unto us, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. That's what the Bible says. How can we ignore that? How can we take go ye and make it come ye? How can that be a reflection of our faith? How can babies be murdered in Louisville, Kentucky, and nobody cares? How can babies be murdered in Columbus, Ohio, at Planned Parenthood, and the church say, well, that's okay, that's the law of the land? What is wrong with us, folks? I mean, 2 Kings chapter 6, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. In other words, it's too hard. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we will dwell. And he answered, okay, go ahead and go. They want to go someplace else. They want to go someplace where it's easy. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, okay, I'll go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried. He said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So this guy's chopping down a tree, and the axe head falls into the water. And this guy is so honorable that this weapon that somebody else gave him to cut down this tree, he's lost this guy's weapon, and he's grieved by it. The axe falls into the water. He says, oh, master, what if it was borrowed? Oh, no. And the man of God said, well, where'd it fall? And he showed him a place. And he cut down a stick, the man of God did, and he cast it into the water. And the iron swam to the stick. Say, oh, this is just a story. Well, okay. Therefore, said he, take it up, and put out his hand, and he took it up. And then the king of Syria warred against Israel. And they took, it's borrowing another man's gift. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. For where the Syrians are, they've come down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man God told him and warned him, and save himself there, not once nor twice. He said, you better be careful there, trying to save his own life, right? Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host. When they came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, my master, what are we going to do? They've got us surrounded. And he answered, oh, baby, don't be afraid. Fear not, 16. For they that be with us, oh, they're more than they to be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you, Lord. Watch this. Lord, Elisha prayed, open his eyes. Oh, Lord, that you would open the eyes of the church. That you would open the eyes of the church. And Elijah prayed and said, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. They're more for us than they are against us. Jairus, go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Because this is a kind of a parallel verse. Ephesians 1. Bear with us here, folks. Oh, if our eyes would be open that we could see and understand the power that's available to the church, to us. Oh, I'm going to start in verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him. The spirit and wisdom of revelation, the knowledge of just who the heck God is and the Lord is. If we could just grab a hold of that the eyes of your understanding, remember eyes being opened, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought through Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that is filled all in all. And I got to say it, 23, it's his body, not his bride. It's right there, which is his body. So what's up with us? What's up with us? Are we all to be afraid now? We're all to be afraid because down in Louisiana, oh my, down in Louisville, oh my goodness, the feds are getting serious. The feds, it's just bullying. That's all it is. That's all that's going on is Christians are permitting themselves to be bullied. That's all that's going on. Hey, Jared, I sent you a link here today. See if you can pull it up there, Jared. It just says the definition of a bully. Click on that real quick, Jared. Anybody feeling this but me? I don't care if you are. I'm feeling it. I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. Sick of being bullied. Sick of it.
What's a bully? Kick him in the teeth, brother.
A bully is a blustering, browbeating person or government or one who is habitually cruel, insulting or threatening to others who are weaker, smaller, or in some way vulnerable, tormented by the government bully. Yeah, I'm saying it. Government bully. Face, we're going to throw you in jail. You're trying to save babies? Okay, well, we're going to throw you in jail. You're going to keep trying to rescue those little babies? Well, you do. We're going to throw you in jail. Oh, you believe it's your God-given right to be able to stand out there and rescue those babies? Well, we're going to throw you in jail. Bully. Just bullies. Freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So if my faith calls me to sit in front of that abortion clinic, that's my God-given right. You understand that? Now, wait a minute. If I violate the laws of men, then there's a price to pay. You violate the laws of God, there's a price to pay. You violate the laws of men, there's a price to pay. But what was it they said in the book of Acts? Hey, I'm going to obey God rather than men. I don't care. I may get thrown in jail for this one, but baby, I'm going to stand with the Lord in this one because all power has been given unto him, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. That, hey, guys, we got to live this out and walk this out. If we do not live this out and walk this out, our children will live in bondage. Somebody say amen, because I'm preaching to you far better than you're getting it. Maybe you're getting it. I don't know. It's all over me. It's all over me. It's all over me today. We get bullied. The biggest bullies are the government. the biggest bullies of the government. So what are they, we're going to go down to Louisville, Kentucky next week. And what are they doing? Well, they're showing their muscles. They're showing their muscles. Don't throw Rusty and those guys in jail. Look at our muscles. You come here, look here, huh? Hmm? That's what they're doing, flexing their muscles. Well, that's all cool, but hey, I know somebody got bigger muscles. My dad can beat up your dad. I understand that, see? But see, here's what it is. We don't want it to have to cost us any. Are you kidding me? Huh? You mean there's a war and they might punch me? You mean there's a war? They might arrest me? Are you kidding me? Well, I'm going to obey God rather than man. And your problem is you don't think they're killing babies. Or you don't care. One or the other. You either don't think they're actually killing babies, or even worse, you don't care that they are. You don't care. I don't care. Don't talk. Yak. Why? Because we're being bullied. Jared, nation of bullies. I made this video about 4 years ago. Pull that thing up there. I warned some of you. Listen, they're not gonna let us play this whole thing. YouTube's gonna shut this thing down. Okay, I'm just telling you some of the stuff I'm gonna show, and they're gonna say it because of copyright things. That's what they're gonna say. I did this about 4 years ago. I don't know what's the date on this thing, Jay. A nation of bullies. See, that's what they're trying to use. You're using it in the schools. Everybody's a bully. Everybody. Hey, listen, life's full of bullies, man. Government's a bully. The government's a bully. 4 years ago. Go ahead and play that, Jared, real quick.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbin, Martin News with Hughes.tv at newswithhughes.com. And I'm about up to my ears in it, folks. I can't even hardly take it anymore. This whole idea of bullying. Anytime you turn on the TV or turn on the news, of course, you do understand this, that they use the news to manipulate people. It's the greatest manipulator in all of America is the news and the television reports and the TV shows, the things they show us. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about bullying. I'm so sick of it. Now, there are those of you out there who like to take some of these videos that I make and try to chop them up and take parts of them to try to make me look like a fool. So I hope you'll show this one in complete full context. I'm not for bullying, but let's be honest here. Bullying is the way of the world. It is the way of the world. Now, those of you who look at me, you probably can't tell this, or maybe you can. I'm not of great stature. Somebody said I'm challenged in my height, right? I'm about 5'7" on a good day. In my whole life, I was called shrimp. I was called shorty. As I grew up with my brothers and my brothers' friends, they made all kinds of fun of me. But it only made me tougher. I didn't like it. I went home and I cried and I told my mom that they were picking on me. But you know what? The reality of it is life is tough and you're going to get picked on all through your life. But only in the last 5, 10, 15 years has bullying become such a big issue. And folks, the whole bullying idea is built around the homosexual agenda to try to get people not to criticize or make fun of or poke fun at homosexuals. That is the whole genesis of the no bullying. That's where it all came from. But come on now. Open your eyes and look around at how America operates. America operates always with the bullies winning. Have you ever seen a bigger group of bullies than what we see in Washington, D.C. today? With what just went on with the debt ceiling and closing down the government, the way that Barack Obama and the Democrats, the way that they called their constituents, made fun of them, called them radicals and extremists, and locked those poor old veterans out of the memorials, that is nothing more than bullying. I don't want Obamacare. But what are they going to do? They're going to use the IRS to bully me into complying with something that I don't want to do. What is hate speech legislation? See, they say hate speech prevents bullying, but it's just the opposite. Hate speech increases bullying. In fact, when someone says something that their conscience tells them to say and everyone rises up against them, then we see the majority begin to bully the minority once again. And you know what's rapidly happening in America? We're beginning to see Christians and Christian ideas and Christian values become the most bullied things in all of this nation. I don't like bullying, but bullying is a part of life. And if we want to be able to make Americans tough again, we are training some of the softest children in the history of the world. My father's generation, the greatest generation, would be ashamed of how sissified we've allowed our children to become. Because why? Government nanny, public school nanny has to step in and prevent every type of psychological damage that might ever be done to every kid. You know, I'm going to come back to me again. 5'7". I want to tell you something. I was one of the most tenacious young athletes that you ever saw. You know why? Because I learned to overcome bullying. Bullying made me tougher. And I think rather than turning the focus of our government schools on the bullying of fellow students, maybe we ought to get the adults to turn their eyes on the focus of the bullying of the federal government, the government class in Washington, D.C., and the things that they're making us do that go against our very nature and our very consciences are at risk. Because why? The government is the biggest bully in all of the world. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer.
That's the truth. Somebody say amen. We don't want to call it that way. No. I was thinking about it the other day. I drive down the road. I'm not a real good driver driving down the road. You know why? Because I'm constantly looking for some cop that's going to pull me over and give me a $150 fine for driving too fast. I hear you. They cut where we're supposed to obey the laws. I understand. We're supposed to obey the laws. But the only way the government can get you, when I'm talking about government, please understand what I'm telling you, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. They're not tyranny. Thank you, Lord. God's a vengeful God. He's a vengeful. Oh, my goodness. We're warned about what it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. But aren't we thankful that his son came and brought a side of grace and mercy, but that doesn't mean God is any less wrathful and vengeful. You know what the good thing is about Jesus Christ? Is he doesn't bully you into following him. In fact, he allows you to choose to be as debaucherous as you want to be, but you are going to pay for it. But the point is, it is by free will. Jesus doesn't bully anybody. He has all power. He could make you do whatever he wanted to do. But he doesn't. Why? Because he's granted all power to us, through us, through his Holy Spirit, to be able to not only know the difference between right and wrong, but to respond appropriately to right and wrong. And we know that the scriptures tell us for us to know to do good and not to do it to us, it's sin. We know that. Yeah, we don't even live out, we can't even pray before a football game. Why? We might get sued. So, well, I might lose my house. So the question is, what's your price, dude? It's very clear you can be bought. What's the price? What's the price of the gift of Christ in your life? What's it going to cost you? That's what's going on in America. It's a costless Christianity. We want to be able to have the blessings of God without having it cost us anything. And they are right now trying to steal out of America, out of the heart of men and women, out of our kids in schools. Everywhere you look, they're trying to steal the gift of Christ right out of the heart through fear and intimidation. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. What the hell's wrong with us? Somebody jump in here real quick. I got another place I want to go. I need to take a deep breath.
You take that breath, brother. Hey, I don't know how many times they're going to let Laura Silsby Gaylor get Haitian children to steal, you know? I mean,
it's unbelievable, stupid. Man.
It's ridiculous.
We know what's going on. We know what's going on, Vince. We know this pedophile stuff. We know it's real. We know it's real. We know they are murdering babies down at the abortion clinic. Not only do we know that, we know they're taking our tax dollars and going down and murdering those babies, and we still pay our taxes. Why do we pay our taxes? Fear and intimidation, bullying. If you had a choice, would any of you pay the IRS? Any of you? No, you're all bullied into submission. You're all bullied. Would any of you go down and stand in front of an abortion clinic? No, because you're bullied and they're not doing what you know to be the right thing because you're not willing to pay the sacrifice. Are you with me? That's where we are. We're the majority. Christians are the majority. And we're being run around like little children, but by the minority. This is craziness. How long will you haul between two opinions? The scripture says, if Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, serve him. If government's God, serve him. If God's God, serve him. But you're going to have to make a decision. You know what's happening? We're living there on the fence. Well, the Lord's about to knock some of you off the fence. It's going to be good. Somebody's about to get your butts knocked off of the fence. Find out which side you stand on. Somebody else jump in here or I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to keep rolling here. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Isn't that what they say at weddings? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Here's your chance. So, well, coach, we're just supposed to love them, coach. We're supposed to obey the government. Romans 13, yada, 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 yada. So I can sit back and watch these 11 innocent people be thrown in jail for doing what? We're trying to protect the life of an unborn baby. But we don't think it's a real life or we'd be in line with them. See? We don't think it's real. They're not really killing babies. They're not really. They're not really. I can show you something. Go ahead.
That's for bloody sure.
We're going to stop them. I wish I could. I knew I see the Lord told me this earlier and I didn't listen. Let me see if I can find it. What a picture. What a picture. Jared, I'm going to try to share this. Man. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. Oh, there it is. There it is. You want to see something cute? Something going to melt your heart? Jared, how do I get you this? No, that's not it. Oh, that's there it is. Okay. Jared, I'm going to copy this and send it to you right now. I want to show you guys why I fight, okay? Why I fight. This is coming to you, Jared. Bear with me a second, folks.
Hey, while they're doing that, all those
thanks, out there. Thanks, Larry. You got a quiet crew here today.
All those out there watching on CoachDaveLive.com, just click on join the huddle. We've got room for 15 more people to come join.
Come on, jump in here. Yeah, hey, Larry, they're afraid the IRS or something is going to follow them. Fine. And they're being bullied. They're afraid to stand up and speak, push back, fight. There ought to be 30 in here and 30 more waiting to get in. Jared, I just sent you a Facebook page of my daughter. I want people to see something. I want them to see it. So, Jared, if you can get that up there, I'll give you a minute. Oh, my goodness, it's 7:30 already. 7:30, praise the Lord. There it is. Slide up there. There's a picture of Grandpa. Well, I don't even know how that got there. Slide on down. That's not the one I'm looking for. When Jared's waiting for all the pictures to come up. That's me sitting with my two grandbabies. That's why I'm fighting. Where is this thing? Now keep going down. Next one, I think, Jared. Come on, now that's not it. There's the people getting arrested. Oh, daggone it. How do I get this thing to you? Oh, no, Maggie, get out. That's my daughter. Right, go back up the top, Jared. Under picture. Why would this thing? It's right here on my Facebook page. Why wouldn't it be right there on this one? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm fighting for my grandkids. You can pull that thing down. I don't know what happened. That's why I fight. What are we leaving them? What are we leaving to them? Nation of bullies. Okay, I want to show you something. Here's why they're not. Let's do this. Jared, go to Young Reject Values. That's still not it. Don't quit messing with it. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry to disrupt everybody here. Go to the stuff I sent you, Jared, and go to Young Reject Values. I'm going to throw this up here before I show you something here. I get this Pastor Hal Meyer. I get stuff from him, but I don't. That's not why I'm putting it up there. Young people are poised to reject their parents' morals. It's July 18th. Let's go down here real quick, Jared. Look at this. Among Americans, I'm concerned about the declining moral behavior in America. 81% of Americans are concerned about our moral behavior, right? A new study from the Nashville-based Lifeway Research found a significant generation gap in how Americans view morality. Most older Americans say right and wrong never change. Younger Americans, not so much. More than 6 in 10 of those older than 45 say right and wrong do not change, while those 35 and under, only 4 in 10 say that. Slide on down a little bit, Jared. It's a huge shift. We're losing the next generation. Why? Because we will not stand up and be counted. Look at this. Worry about moral values differs across demographic lines. but remains consistently high. Most Americans older than 65, that's us, 85%, are concerned about the moral behavior. Yeah. Those with college degrees, look at this, 72% agree, as do those with a high school or less. So do Christians, 85% of those of non-Christian faith, 70%. And the nuns, those with no religious affiliation, are all concerned. Yet Americans disagree over whether morality can be legislated. Almost two-thirds agree with the statement, implementing laws to encourage people to act morally is not effective. 63% of people say you can't legislate morality. What a lie that is. 37% disagree. But down at the bottom, men, 49% are more likely to agree than women. Nuns, 55% are more likely to agree than Christians. So in other words, some people who aren't Christians agree we need laws, moral laws. Look at that. 55% are more likely to agree than Christians. Christians are the ones who've given in to moral absolutes. Christians are the ones who have bent on moral absolutes. Christians are the ones. Look at this. None. 55% are more likely to agree than Christians.
Coach,
get that off. Get off before I hit myself with that. Yes, yes, Sarah.
The term Christian, you know, it's just thrown around all over the place. You know, this woman I know, she calls herself a Christian. She says she reads the Bible, but yet she brings her grandchildren to a gay pride parade and goes la la la, happy happy, this is wonderful. They are just in name. And it doesn't amaze me that those numbers are what they are, because the Bible says it's going to be a remnant. And as you know, a remnant is a crumb. It's a tiny little piece.
I'm with you, Sarah. So here's what I'm saying. Where are we? Where are we, the remnant? 11 people get arrested down in Louisville. And where are we? Do we come to their aid? Are we going to fill the streets and 1,000 of us get arrested? Oh, no, that would be breaking the law. No. We have to obey man, not God. We have it just backwards. Don't you see this? Don't you see this? See, God gave us power. I got Jared. Let's go to I'm going to show you three quick video clips. I'm probably going to get this YouTube pulled down. Okay. Jared, go to the first one. Folks, listen, this is from Schindler's List. I want you to think about this a minute. What is power, really? What is power? Is all power has been given unto me. Jesus said, Jesus said to Pilate, don't you know I have the power? Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to release you or crucify you? And Jesus said, dude, you ain't got no power over me. That's been given to you from on high. You ain't got no power over me. And see, the greatest power in the world is the power to control you. That's the greatest power in the world. And it's the one that the Holy Spirit has empowered us with. And see, rules and regulations are put into place, and I have a decision. Am I going to obey or disobey? That's power. Am I going to get angry and sin not? That's power. Am I going to open my mouth or shut my mouth? That's power. That has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. We think power is the strongest. My mom always told me when I was little and I always getting beat up, she was always saying to my brothers, hey, Dan, Joe, might does not make right. Might doesn't make right. I don't know how many times I heard that. My mom telling us, just because you're the strongest doesn't mean you're right. Just because you're the strongest doesn't mean you get to do it. Just because you're the strongest. And we're living in a society where we believe that the might does make right, that threatening and bullying by big people telling you what you can and can't do. I don't know if anybody's getting this out of me. I'm getting this out of me. So this is a great scene from Schindler's List, and it has the F word in it. I'm sorry. But I want you to watch Arthur Schindler explain to this Nazi death camp guard commander power. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
A wonderful party. Why do you drink that motor oil? I send you good stuff all the time. Your liver's going to explode like a hand grenade.
You know, I look at you. I watch you. You're never drunk. Yeah, that's real control. Control is power. That's power.
Is that why they fear us?
We have the fucking power to kill, that's why they fear us.
They fear us because we have the power to kill arbitrarily. A man commits a crime, he should know better. We have him killed and we feel pretty good about it. Or we kill him ourselves and we feel even better. It's not power, though. That's justice. It's different than power. Power is when we have every justification to kill. And we don't.
You think that's power?
That's what the Emperor said. A man stole something, he's brought in before the Emperor, he throws himself down on the ground, he begs for mercy. He knows he's going to die. And the Emperor pardons him. This worthless man, he lets him go.
I think you are drunk.
That's power, Amon. That is power. Amon, the good.
I pardon you.
So ask yourself this. You can pull that down a second. Jared, get the next clip. It says, I pardon you. Get that one ready. What power do you really have? What power do I really have? I have the power to make a decision whether I will do what's right or whether I will do what's wrong. And no amount of government tyranny or government bullying can ever take that option away from me. Oh, I can justify it. I can explain why I didn't, have all kinds of reasons. Well, no, I don't want to do that. No, you know, I've got to take care of my wife, my children. I can know I'm doing good work here right where I am. Yet I still have the power to say yes or no. Yes or no. It's still God's given me that power. And that's why. Larry.
You know, you're absolutely totally right. The only power anyone has over any of us is because we choose to let them have that power and
right,
for
brother.
Them for behavior. One of the truisms of life is that people do what they want to do. They choose to every decision they make is because that's the decision they decided to do. Now, there may be circumstances that influence that decision, like going to jail for 10 years or going to jail for 2 years, whatever. But the thing is, every single decision we make is based on what we want to do, what we choose to do. It's our choice. And letting other people, using the excuse that other people have power over us, is exactly that. It's simply an excuse.
It's an excuse. You have no power over me. Jesus said to Pilate, you have no power over me unless it's been given you from on high. And I have the power to determine whether or not how I'm going to respond, how I'm going to act. I have that power. Yes, sir. Somebody trying to get in? Is you, Bobby? Is that you? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so bear with me here a second. It's like I heard a story of a little 2-year-old boy who was getting in trouble. He was a strong-willed kid, and he's getting in trouble with his dad. And his dad told him, says, if you don't sit down, I'm going to spank you. And the kid kept standing up and stomping his feet. You've seen little 2-year-olds do that. And the dad says, if you don't sit down, I'm giving you the last warning. If you don't sit down, I'm going to spank you. And the little kid sits down, and he's all mad. And he says to his dad, okay, but I want you to know I'm standing up on the inside. What happened to us? Standing up on the inside. What's happened to us? So here's another scene from Schindler's List. This is just a minute and a half. This is this same commandant. Next scene, this little worker, slave, comes in. He's supposed to clean his bathtub. Okay? Now, he just told this guy what's real power. Right? Real power is the power to be able to forgive, be able to make your own decision. All power is in your hands to be able to do it. Watch this scene.
What about your use, Ilyushuk?
Soap, Commandant.
The bathtub's still
soap,
dirty.
Not lie.
Soap on the bathtub.
Go ahead, go on, leave. Leave, I pardon you.
You can stop that, Jared. I just got to notice Facebook's already blocked, it seems. This kind of stuff, it goes on because they don't want the truth. It says your video was blocked because it may contain content owned by Creative Content. I knew it was going to happen. That's all right. We're still here. We're still making the point. We're still making the point that you have the decision to make whether you're going to do what's right or whether you're going to do what's wrong in every aspect of our lives. Can't blame the Lord. And as we read in 2 Kings, there's so many more force in there against us. Oh, my goodness, if we just even understood. We understood that maybe right even where you're living, maybe you are the guy to blow the trumpet where you live, right where you live. Maybe you're the guy to do that. You blow the trumpet and encourage others to come and stand and fight. At what point, folks, at what point do we push back? And what does it look like when we push back? And I don't care what it is, and any war that you're in, do you think that you're ever going to push back and there's going to be casualties? Not going to be casualties. We saw that scene of that commandant right there. He had the ability to let that kid live, and he still couldn't do it. Do we believe that those who are in power in our government in Washington, D.C., do you really believe that they're going to grant you pardons and mercy? Do you really believe that? Do we really believe that? Do we believe that they're going to give up power just because they're good people? Somebody jump in here.
What is
Come
this?
On, man.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But who has the absolute power? We're the ones that have the absolute power, not them. Jesus said, listen. Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life or not lay down my life. I have that power. See, you don't have the choice to decide whether or not you're going to die because we're all going to die. But to a degree, we have a desire. We have the ability to decide whether we're going to die on our knees or we're going to die standing up. We have that. We have the ability to make a decision as to whether we're going to do something now that's going to impact the future or not. Greater love is no man than this. He would lay down his life for his friends. That doesn't always mean die. That means sometimes to sacrifice what you want for the good of others. Do we believe their babies dying? Yeah, we do, but they want the law. The law says that they're allowed to die. Really? Now, Jared, I want to ask you a question. Since Facebook just blocked this thing, if I show another clip, are the people watching the show right now, Jared, are they able to see this clip, Jared? Jared, even though Facebook blocked that clip, we're still going out on YouTube and all that, are we not, Jared? Okay. I don't even care, because that's why I'm trying to tell people to get in the queue here, get here, because I warned you at the beginning that they were probably going to shut it down, right? You know why? They're watching us. Don't think they're not. Don't think that we're not having an impact. Now, here's what I want to – do I have time here? What time is it, Lord? 7:50. See, I got 11 brothers and sisters who are facing prison time. I guess I can pray for them, huh? I can pray for them. Chad said faces feds against Christians. That's about right. Pro-death. My Christian brothers who took a stand are now facing prison time. So I got a decision to make, don't I? I have a decision to make. All power is given unto me. It's given unto you. Stuff's going on is unbelievable. Why is it going on? Because we love ourselves too much. Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Remember we were talking the other day? There is an advocate, and he's not there for the world. There is an advocate, and there is a great judge. And I text and talked to Rusty this morning, and I said, and that advocate, that judge, is about to render judgment on this nation for the shedding of innocent blood. Amen. And then every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Lord, and the heavens on the earth and underneath the earth. And people are more afraid. Once again, what that gentleman said the other day, more men have put the second commandment above the first, to love thy neighbor. In other words, they're more afraid of what the government, what man thinks of them, than what God. But in the end, Jesus is not the advocate for the world, but he is the advocate in Rusty's corner and the other 10. And brother, I want to tell you something. He's about to render a verdict, and it's not
going to be good. Dale, and listen, yeah. here's what Rusty and those guys understand, see. The Lord is going to render the verdict. And it doesn't matter what happens to Rusty in it. It's not about Rusty. It's not about those 11 people. They are a living parable. They are living out, walking out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord will use their example to do something that is a sacrifice that they've given to the Lord that the Lord will use and multiply. And a good thing will come out of it. But see, we don't get it. See, we don't want to, we get it. We think the government bullies have all the power. Go ahead, Larry. I heard you try to get in here.
Yeah, that judgment that Jesus is going to be passing out begins in the church.
In the house of God. Begins in the house of God. But, you know, I always tend to argue that too, because the house of God's right here. Judgment begins first in the house of God. Okay, so here's what I want to end up with today. I'm preaching to myself right here. Jared, get that last clip, that last Schindler's List clip up there. It says closing scene. I'm talking to me now, okay? So hold it a second, Jared. You guys know the story of Arthur Schindler. They said he saved over 1,100 Jews, probably. Who knows how many? When it was all said and done, how many children came out of the 1,100 he saved? And I'm thinking about my own life and my own walk this morning and the effectiveness, am I being effective, and why do I do what I do, and is it making a difference, and blah, 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 all that stuff that we tend to ask ourselves, and storing up food, and storing up all this stuff. Well, store why? Storing up what? Storing up why? And there are people around me who need stuff right now, and I'm storing up stuff for me, and there's people around me who need help with this, and I'm too busy doing my own thing, and it's all of us. We're all guilty of it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. Some of you get a lot of money out there, and you're hoarding up the money. And so here's Arthur Schindler at the end of Schindler's List.
Not in our sphere, Coach.
I got you, Dale. I got you, man. Here's Arthur Schindler after he saved all these 1,100. At some point, don't you say, well, I've done enough. Did Schindler say, I've done enough? I've done all I can. I've done enough. This is pretty emotional. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This is Schindler at the end. He's leaving. He has to flee. And who shows up but all these Jews that he has saved? Watch this. Go ahead and play it. I let Facebook block it. I don't care. Melting down a tooth to make a ring. Gold filling in a tooth.
Thank you, Mr. Yedder.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's piece of curse. I want that cloth distributed to the workers. 2.5 meters each. Also, each person is to get a bottle of vodka. They won't drink it. They know its value. Likewise, those Egyptian cigarettes we organized.
It'll be done, everything you ask.
We've written a letter trying to explain things in case you were captured. Every worker has signed it.
Hebrew from the Talmud, it says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire. Idea. If I just... There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Gert would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for at least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Stand. For this, I could have become 1 poor person, and I didn't, and I didn't.
Thank you.
So, folks, here's the question, man. When it's all said and done, it's not going to be important that you live. You're going to be measured by what lives after you. Time to stand up. Be counted. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.